Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the Zion Hill Church Family Broadcast, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Joydera, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZIONHILL.com. Now, let's join the broadcast, already in progress.
Our subject for discussion this morning is titled, Say It Again. Say It Again. The passage I just read to your hearing permit me to give you a quick background of what is going on. During that period of time, there was a gentleman who was sick, and through the help of the preachers, the disciples, he got healed. Obviously, when he got healed, everybody began to rejoice. The disciples seized that moment to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can stop there and minister to you because from time to time, God will present you with opportunity. The disciples saw that the people were amazed by the healing miracle of that man. So they saw it as an opportunity. It takes wisdom for you to recognize when an opportunity is in front of you. Many of us, God has presented us with opportunities after opportunities, but we don't recognize it. You have to learn to open your eyes and watch God open windows of opportunities in your life. God will send even people in your life. We call them destiny helpers. Just like there are destiny killers. But God in his grace and mercy will send in your life, in my life, destiny helpers. And you have to recognize that man. You have to recognize that woman. Another thing you need to know about opportunity is that the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during the lifetime of that opportunity. I always tell my children, don't drag in life. Everything is moving at the speed of light. You got to seize every moment. When God opened the door, walk in. In this story, the disciples saw clearly that the people were amazed. And they saw it as an opportunity to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So they preached with all their hearts. But guess what happened to them? They were arrested. Now they're in the hand of the government. And then, of course, you have two preachers now in custody. Reverend Peter and Reverend John. So now the government, it looks like some of what's going on in Washington today. So now they are scratching their head, okay, what do we do with these raggedy preachers? So they decided, okay, I mean, if we put them in jail, it's not going to be good PR. So we're just going to beat the hell out of them. And then we're going to warn them, when you live here, don't let us catch you again preaching about Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what took place. But of course, if you read the end of the story, as soon as the disciples were released, guess what they did? They say it again. They say it again in the name of Jesus. Now you see, we have got the topic, the idea that you ought to say it again. My brothers, my sisters, I've learned in my own life, on my job, you know, I'm a professor at a university. And one of the secrets I learned, I see some of my students in the audience. One of the best ways to teach is through repetition. There is power in you saying what you're trying to say over and over again till all the students get it. My brothers, my sisters, it helps even with mastery of the subject matter. You saying something again, it helps to reinforce what you are saying. Believe it or not, it builds confidence. I wish I can take you out for dinner, or you and I get Popeye chicken. Don't worry, we'll drink Diet Coke. So it won't be a horrible diet. Sometimes I just want to share with you how the Bible is so real and so practical. I even remember when I was going to school, I went to Southern University Law School. Some of your honorees are graduates there. I believe Brother Sanders, probably, I don't know, but probably, Brother Sherman, we're all product of the same school. But there was something about me going to school. I was a foreign student. That means I'm not entitled to grants, no Pell grants. That means I'm not entitled to student loan. So I got no money. Some of you students, you better listen to me. Of course, the bills was piling up. I could not even afford not only to pay my tuition, but to buy textbooks. So the way that I graduate, I have to memorize what I'm learning. Lord have mercy. And one of the tricks that helps me to memorize, to retain information, is through this art of repetition. Whatever I learned, I just kept saying it the whole day. When you say it again and you say it again. In fact, it works so well to me. God is my witness. I started my own tutorial program and teaching other law students and charging them money to pay me. So the idea of being a professor, I've been practicing professor before I was employed. But my message to you is that if you learn to say it again, whatever you're believing God for, you keep on saying it. Oh, glory. You keep on saying it until whatever it is comes to pass. Are you all still here? Ladies and gentlemen, it will help you with memorization. It will help you to retain what you're learning. In fact, I remember when I had a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And her number, I still remember. Now, don't worry, I married her, so I'm not in trouble. So, but I had to memorize that number. And you can wake me up in the middle of the night, I'll give it back to you. Learning to say things again, it helps your memory. It helps your confidence. Even in my preaching ministry, I never will forget one day I was invited to speak somewhere in Fort Polk. I don't remember the name of the church. And I was playing big shot preaching, you know. So I had all this entourage. I have security. I got associate. One of my associates was Brother George Mitchell. And his job was to print out my sermon, put it in a binder, and bring the sermon to me. So I just walk free. I still do it. If you notice, when I come to church, I just walk with nothing. If you're not careful, you would think I'm not even prepared. But don't be fooled. The Negro is ready. It's just part of the trade. So the higher God promotes you, you can afford to do that. But anyway, we got to Fort Polk. Usually before I preach, one of the associates will walk to the stage and put my Bible and put up something to drink, put my sermon. You don't do nothing. You just chilling, basically. That's the joy of being senior pastor. But this particular day, Brother Mitchell, and he's watching now, he's in Seattle, Washington, live streaming. He brought the wrong sermon. So while I was playing Big Shot, I flipped the page. I said, oh, what is this? So I knew Houston we got a problem. Well, it's too late to cry now. But I tap in to the secret I'm sharing with you this morning. Because I have prepared myself and said the same sermon over and over again. I spent countless hours saying it again and again and again. So now when the paper turned out to be the wrong paper in front of me, I just closed the book and I was ready to run. Why? Because it's already in my spirit. Are you still here? My message to you this morning is very simple. Some things you learn by repeating it. Tell somebody, I got it. Repetition is a way of fixing it in your mind. If nobody else get it, you will get it because you've been saying it again and again. Some things, in order for you to grab it, you need to say it again. I said you need to say it again. If you believe that God is a healer, say it again. The devil is at his job. And one of his jobs, ladies and gentlemen, is to make you and me become silent. He's trying to make you to be silent. He's trying to make the church silent. He's trying to make Christians silent. He's trying to make even choir silent. Have you ever seen some choir singing and they have no life in them? The devil has caused them to become mute. One of the things I love about this choir behind me is the energy. I was teaching, running a workshop yesterday, and I don't know, somebody asked me, which of all of our group is lively? I asked the audience, I said, tell me. And they couldn't figure it out. I told them, this choir behind me. They were shocked. If you're going to serve God, you ought to serve. He said, serve the Lord with gladness. You ought to be excited about what you know. You ought to be excited about the God you serve. You ought to be excited. Even if nobody believes you, you ought to believe your own self. Am I helping somebody this morning? Ladies and gentlemen, the devil is trying to rob you and me of the power that God has given us. The word of God says life and death is in the power of your tongue. Look at somebody next to you and say, you better say it again. Say it again. one of the powers that God gives to the church is in its own testimony. Are you still here? Your testimony is one of the things you ought to say. The book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 11 says, and I quote, they overcome him. Him is the devil. How? He said, by the blood of the Lamb, but also by the words of their testimony. Now you see why the book of Psalms 107 verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord learn to say something. Amen. I can be guilty of many things, but you would never catch me being silent. The Lord has given me a big mouth, and everywhere I see the devil, I expose him. And the Lord has been so good to me. I don't know about you. I got something to shout about. How about you? I said, I got something to shout about. He woke me up this morning. Hey! He clubbed me in my right mind. Hey! I look my wife, I look at my children, they're doing well. That's something to shout about. And if you have nothing to shout about, shout for me. Do I have a witness in the house? Somebody shout amen. Amen. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, is that too many Christians have gone mute. Have you ever seen a mute button on your home equipment, home device? Once you hit that button, everything goes silent. I must let you know, as an oracle of God, strategically placed in this part of the United States, every effort the Lord tried to keep me here. Every effort, the devil is trying to open more doors, bigger money, bigger opportunity. And the Lord will say, no, stay right here. Stay right here. I planted you here for a reason. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to know in your knowing that God is not pleased with the state of the church right now. Especially the black church, because you're getting too quiet. If you know anything about our history, we're excitable people. We are emotional people. We are lively people. And if you like me, a sinner saved by grace, if you ever been to a nightclub, don't look at me like that. Been there, done that. Man, it gets loud. It gets lively. Nobody go to a nightclub and you just sit down all day. Something is going to cause you to move. There is no way you can play something by Luther Vandross and keep missing. I got to get up. Oh, glory. Young people, they don't know what I'm talking about. They say, who that? God has been good to us. I was teaching a group of people yesterday. It was a workshop. I said, no, I want this church to be lively. No more dead church. Anything that is dead, I bury it. I went on direct attack at the devil. I want a choir that's lively. I told the preacher, if you're going to preach, you better be lively. If not, I'll come and take my microphone from you. They don't make preachers like that no more. A little strange. There's a reason why the Bible says, let everything that has breath do what? Is that in your Bible? We as a people, God has been so good to us. If everybody else has been quiet, we got a testimony. We ought to get loud for Jesus. Some of you can testify the Lord has been good to you. He's been your shelter in time of storm. Do I have a witness? God has proven himself to be a way maker. When your back was against the wall, when you don't know how you're going to get out of it, but God show up and show out. Do I have a witness in the house? This year alone, I've been getting calls by permission of the Holy Spirit. We decree and we declare in this church that this year is going to be a year of manifestation. Some of you watching me on TV, you might be saying, what is he talking about, decree and declare? The Bible says, if you shall decree a thing, it shall be established. Oh, glory. One of the problems with the body of Christ is that we have been too quiet. By faith, we decree and we declare in this house, this year will be a year of manifestation. If you believe that, shout amen. Amen. And calls begin to come in. Somebody called me and said, Brother Pastor, I've been working law enforcement for many years without promotion. He said, I have in my hand. I got promoted. You told us this year God will manifest and say, thank you for provoking the faith of God in me. He said, I'm now a lieutenant. Manifestation. Another lady called me and said, Pastor, you told us this year it will be a year of manifestation. I said, yes, I'm guilty. He said, I'm sending you a video. I just completed my cancer treatment and I am cancer free. Somebody shout manifestation. Another person, these are your members, real testimony. Another person tell me, he said, Pastor, are you sitting down or are you standing up? I said, Negro, tell you whatever you want. You being my business. But I'm sitting down, standing up, that's my business. She said, Pastor, my daughter is a professional dancer. She's been believing God for opportunity to go professional. And it's been a struggle. It's been depressing. He said, but God opened a door this year. He said, my daughter is on her way to California. He's, I say again, manifestation. Testimonies after testimonies. God doing his own thing in the midst of his people. I was even minding my own business one time. True story. I was in the restroom. I'm trying to pee. Yes, I said it. You don't see preachers like this anymore. And my phone rang, so I ignored it. But this person called again. So I assume maybe it's an emergency. So I said, well, sir, you got to pick this one. She said, Pastor, you won't believe my story. I just got my license. I said, license? For what? Are you a lawyer? Are you a doctor? He said, no, I just got my license as a finance, whatever. I said, wow. That's how I said, ooh. I said, What? He said, you told us, Pastor, this year is going to be a year of manifestation. I can occupy your time all this morning with testimonies after testimony. You know what I'm telling you? I don't want you to go through the year and you're still wondering what's going on. One of the ways you provoke manifestation in your life is begin to say what God has said concerning you. If the Lord says you are the head and not the tail, you better say it. If the Lord says you are blessing the city and you are blessing the field, you better say it. When I say if the Lord says, I'm telling you what God has already said. If the Lord says it don't matter, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver you out of them all, you better say it, you better say it, and say it, and say it, and everybody hear what you're saying. I wish I have time to testify. I was preaching one day right here in this church, and I collapsed. Some of you are here. It was on live television. And they rushed me to the hospital. And I got there. They were able to resuscitate me. They said the problem is that your heart was beating too fast. And you were stressing when you were preaching. That's why you collapsed. I knew right then the Lord would heal me. Because I was doing his job. I was not in a nightclub. I was not in a drug house. I was not on the street. I was serving the Lord. So I knew, I got a feeling, oh glory, that everything will be all right. But then they brought me a report. They said, we got some bad news. I said, okay. I'm listening. They said we took some x-ray. I don't know what they do. We examined your brain. And when you fell, you hit your head on the whatever floor here. And then it caused blood to rupture in your brain. I said, okay, I'm listening. So, what's the problem? They said, well, the problem is blood cannot remain like that in your brain. So we will have to drill a hole in your brain and suck out those blood. I said, you got to be kidding. Then my spirit began to remind me, you know what the Lord said concerning you. He said, tell the doctor. And I'm thinking, okay, the doctor is not even a Christian. I hear the Holy Spirit say, shut up, tell the doctor. So I told the doctor, I say, the Lord said, he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace, in other words, all my messed up, oh glory, was upon him. And by his stripe, I am healed. The doctor said, well, I understand that people have all kinds of beliefs. He said, but we have to schedule this surgery immediately because blood also have tendency to form clot. So time is of the essence. I say, do me a favor. Let's take another picture, whatever you're doing. And give me a few minutes to have a little talk with Jesus. And sure enough, he said, oh, that's no problem. I'll send the technicians to come and get you again in your room, and we'll bring you downstairs where they take all the pictures. So I went into prayer. I talked to God about it. I told God, I even told my wife, I'm not afraid to die. I said, if the Lord has never done anything else for me, he's done more than enough. I said, but he said I should call him to remembrance of his own word. So I began to tell the Lord. I began to say it again and say it again and say it again. And sure enough, they came back to get me. They wheeled me to downstairs, somewhere in the basement. That's where they have the picture taken. And of course, they came back to me. The doctor said, Reverend, we got result back. He said, here's the picture, the first one. He said, did you see the blood in your brain? I said, yes, I see. Then he said, here's the picture the second time. He said, this time, not only are there blood there, but it is spreading. He said, that's more trouble. He said, can you see it? I said, yes, sir, I saw that. I said, do me a favor. I said, no, don't schedule the procedure yet. Give me another time. I want to talk to my family. That was a Christian lie. I'm trying to find a nice way to say it. Because really, Brother Martin, what I really wanted to do is to go back to the Lord and say, did I miss something? So I said, I want to talk to my family before I go through any procedure. Oh, he said, that's very well. He said, that's not uncommon. Take your time. I'll come back in the morning. And then we'll schedule this thing. So, and sure enough, he came. I say, Doc, yeah. What I didn't tell him is that I have had not a little talk with Jesus. It was a long talk with Jesus. I said, do me one more favor. I want you to take the picture at third time. He said, well, we already took the picture. If we have to take the picture again, you are piling up your medical bills. I said, oh, that ain't not my problem. I got me insurance. Hello, somebody. And sure enough, he took me again. And this time they come up with the result. He said, Reverend, you won't believe this. I said, oh, I believe it. You the doctor, I trust you. But I trust God more. Then he showed me the paper. Here's the first picture. Did you see the blood? I said, I saw the blood. He said, here's the second picture. Did you see how it's spreading? I said, I saw that. He said, here's the third picture. And then I said, there's nothing on the picture. This is a blank page. He said, that's right, because we can't find no blood in your brain anymore. I said, oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. I was shouting so much, the doctor thought I'm losing my mind. I said, nobody know, like I know, what the Lord has done for me. Is there anybody else here that you were sick, but the Lord healed your body? Somebody open your mouth, shout amen. Is there anybody here that they told you you can't make it, but you are still in the land of the living? Open your mouth, shout amen. Amen. Is there anybody here? God has been our shelter in time of storm. Open your mouth, shout amen. Amen. God is Jehovah Rapha. God is Jehovah Tiskuno. God is Jehovah Shalom. God is Jehovah Jireh. Has he provided for you? Has he paid your bill? Has he made a way for you? Open your mouth, shout hallelujah. My brothers, my sisters, this is where the sermon becomes important, because many of you, you are like me. You told the Lord, Lord, if you save me, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Am I the only one? Some of you say, Lord, if you get me out of this one, for the rest of my days. I hear the choir be singing it. For the rest of my life, I serve him. For the rest of my life. You lying if you don't serve him. That's why you cannot become too dignified when you're in the church. Because you promised him. You made a vow. Some of you sing it and you say you're on the battlefield for the Lord. And you are promising that you will serve him until you die. Then if that was your covenant, the Lord sent me to remind you, say it again. Say it again. Don't lose your shout. Some of you used to be loud, but now you've come to become so quiet. Now we can't even get you to clap your hand. Now we can't get you to raise your hand. Now we can't get you to open your mouth and give the Lord some praise. Now you become so blessed, so dignified. You got a big house. You got 2 cars and a cat. And you think you're all that. We can't even get you to shake hands with ordinary people on the street no more. Because you're too clean. But the Lord sent me to tell you, you better go back to that old landmark religion. The same God that saved you. The same God that healed you. Now God is asking you to give him the glory. Say it again. Say it again. Say, God is a good God. I come to tell you, if you would like to give God the glory, everything will be all right. Amen, somebody. When I talked about saying again, those are the tradition of the church. Are you listening to me? As a Christian, we have some tradition. We have some coded words that you won't hear anywhere else. You won't hear it in the nightclub. You won't hear it at the ballpark. You won't hear it on your job. But in the kingdom of God, we have some coded language. It belongs to the church. One of those coded words is amen. You don't go to nightclub and you hear amen. It's a code of the church. Do I have a witness in the house? You ought to get your mouth open every opportunity you get to say amen. It's a coded word. Another word is hallelujah. I say it again, hallelujah. I say it again, hallelujah. Another coded word in the kingdom of God is glory. I don't know about you. In the average length of 24 hours, I don't know how many times I say amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, you won't hear nobody on the dance floor saying hallelujah. Glory belongs to the church. Glory belongs to Jesus. Somebody said, down at the cross, where my Savior died, there from cleansing Atra, there to my heart, the blood was applied. Then he said, glory. He said, glory. Glory to his name. For every prostitute that come into the house of God, glory to his name. For every crackhead that find his way to Jesus, glory to his name. For every homeless man, I feel like shouting now. You better call the police. For every homeless man that the Lord made a way, now I have my own home. Then I have a second home, a third home, a fourth home. Glory to his name. God has been good to you. Open your mouth, shout glory. God has been good to your children. Open your mouth, shout glory. God has made a way for you. Open your mouth, shout glory. God has touched your children. Open your mouth, shout glory. He's been a good God. He's been a mighty God. He healed you. He blessed you. He made a way. Somebody shout glory. Peter and John, they said, never again open your mouth to say anything about Jesus Christ. The devil has a silence program trying to make sure that you become silent. He doesn't want you to say anything more. The devil knows when you praise God. When praises go up, blessings will come down. That is why the church has to be a noisy crowd. Many of you, you love New Orleans Saints. Mm-hmm. And I fool around one day, Pastor Shirley, minding my own business. I went to the Superdome. And I had me a witness with me. I took one of my deacons. Mm-hmm. Amen. With me. And bless God, I had my jacket. It was cold. I had my jacket. Dallas Cowboy. My deacon, I don't want to mention nobody where I might as well say it. Beauregard. Beauregard told me, Reverend, you are in a territory that it would not be cool or civilized for you to be wearing Dallas Cowboy jacket. I said, well, there's only one problem. I'm cold. He said, you just have to be cold today. No, I said, come on. So I used some colorful words. I said, shut up. I got this. And sure enough, I went into the Superdome. And every time, the New Orleans Saints was playing the Dallas Cowboys. And that year, the New Orleans Saints had all win record. The only game they lost that year was to the Dallas Cowboys. But I brought me a bottle of oil. You can talk to Beauregard. I told, don't tell anybody your pastor bet some money. But I told Beauregard, I'm winning. I said, I don't, oh yes, I'm a two. Thank you. Every now and then I forget. They've had a perfect record. But man, the game was on. I knew I poured some oil in the Superdome. I anointed the chairs. The Kimboregard said, Reverend, this is no church. I said, you don't understand. There's some money at stake here. So this is serious business. And to cut the story short, my team won. And we won. We broke their record. So I began to shout, oh, glory. Oh, glory. And everybody's looking at me. They use some words that is not permissible in the church house to describe me. Somebody got so excited and literally pulled my jacket off. He was that excited. But brothers and sisters, if you and I, we go to Bayou Classic and get so excited, if we will go to watch the New Orleans Saints and lose our cool and act like a plum fool, how come you cannot shout in the house of God? How come you become so mute in the house of God? Let the redeemed of the Lord say something. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. You ask me, why should I be shouting? Look at me. Where I am, he brought me. Who I am, he made me. What I got, he gave me. Do you have something to shout about? Do you have something to shout about? Somebody shout hallelujah. You are sick and healed, you shout hallelujah. You ran out of money, he made a way, shout hallelujah. Folks were messing with you on your job, but God protected your job. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Everybody stand to your feet.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Zion Hill Church Family. To hear this sermon in its entirety or hear other sermons, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZionHill.com, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Under the leadership of Pastor Joshua Joydera on the Hill in Pineville, Louisiana. If you're ever in the area, come and see what's going on at Zion Hill Church Family.
Come on, praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, let's praise the Lord, everybody. Let's enter his gates this morning with thanksgiving in our hearts. And let's enter into his courts with praise. And let us be thankful unto him. And bless his holy name. Somebody bless his name this morning. Shout hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you came to praise God and worship God, can you make some noise for the Lord this morning? Thank you all for tuning in that are live streaming. We know that this is the first month that we celebrate Black History. So we're going to go old school real quick and bring it up to new. Is that all right? This is an old song. Everybody remembers this song. Put me in E-flat, Matt. It says, come on in the room. Oh, come on
in the room.
If you know it, sing it with us. Say, Jesus is
the. Jesus is my doctor.
Yeah. And he write out all of my
prescription.
Oh. Oh,
Jesus is my doctor.
Sound real good, and he write
up all of my prescriptions.
Oh, and he gives me all
of my medicine.
Where does he give
in
it?
In the prayer
room. Oh,
in the prayer room.
Come on, one more time. Come on, in the room. Everybody say, yeah. Hey, yeah.
Jesus is my doctor.
I see you. Oh, and he write
out all of my prescriptions.
Oh, and he gives
me all of my medicine.
Oh, in the prayer room. Oh, in the prayer room. Now can we make it up a little bit to 2025, 26? Everybody clap your hand like this. Come on. Gotta move a little bit. Yeah. Clap your hand like this. Same lyrics says this. Come on in the room. Y'all help me say, come on.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Zion Hill Church family. To hear this sermon in its entirety or hear other sermons, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZIONHILL.com, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Under the leadership of Pastor Joshua Joydera on the Hill in Pineville, Louisiana. If you're ever in the area, come and see what's going on at Zion Hill Church Family.
KAYT and KQJO-FM. We're five cities strong all day long. Believe it. We've got Louisiana on lock.
Kelly's Sitting Service is an in-home, non-medical care provider agency serving central Louisiana. Kelly's provides VA services and waiver services such as Children's Choice, Community Choice, EPSDT PCS, LT PCS, Now SIL, and private duty services. Kelly's is seeking attendants who have a love for people and who want to assist others to remain in the community for as long as possible. Kelly's can be reached at 318-793-8453 for your in-home care needs.
Lord, you've done so much for me.
Kelly's Sitting Service Incorporated is a proud sponsor of KAYTKQJOFM.
Are you grateful today?